Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is James Plousis, the chairman of the Casino Control Commission here in New Jersey. Jim, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you taking
my pleasure. Welcome back to town.
Yeah.
We love having you.
I love being here in the summertime. It's fantastic. You know, I get to miss all of the freezing rain and the snow in the winter.
So exactly.
It worked out fine. So,
yeah.
So we're coming up to the competition with the New York casinos.
Yes.
It's about a month ago, the casino opened at Resorts World, New York City. They put tables in. I've been talking to some of the people who've been there. I hope to get up there myself to see it. But it's doing very well from what I understand. And it's obviously a threat to Atlantic City. And, we actually have 4 years before the other two come in. So we've got a time to do it. What role do you think the regulatory agencies should play here in New Jersey?
Well, we've been monitoring it since they opened last month. Mm-hmm. New York does weekly numbers,
right?
So we've been tracking that. The numbers are, we thought they would be higher, so
right.
that's positive,
yes,
for Atlantic,
mm-hmm,
City all the way around. And of course, I think some people just want to see the building,
right?
You know, so I don't know if they don't end up being customers there. Now, I think Atlantic City, we dodged a bullet not having properties in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get the Resorts World in Queens is a challenge.
Right.
So that's the true advantage we have.
Right.
And as you say, we have 4 years to ramp up,
right,
and make sure we get Atlantic City to be a true destination. And that's what we have to do to be competitive.
Right, right. So, you know, the people in North Jersey who are also the clients of Atlantic City casinos, it's kind of a hike for them to get to Queens. It's not like right across the river. They've got to go through a couple of boroughs to get there. And do you think that's an advantage to Atlantic City?
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Anybody, in my previous positions, I had an office in New York and Chelsea.
Uh-huh.
And going over there, I dreaded going over,
yes,
to New York City, and it hasn't got any better. And of course, with the tolls increasing dramatically, I think that we have a distinct advantage. It's much easier coming to Atlantic City than going up to,
right,
Queens.
And even when you factor in the Hard Rock, which is also in Queens, it's near the Met Stadium, which is closer to Connecticut than New Jersey, actually. And of course, the Bally's Casino, which will be in the Bronx. The Bronx is even harder to get to. So, at least we have some sort of advantage in that matter.
We truly do. There's no question the geography has played to our advantage all the way around, and we were very lucky. I mean, there's no question, as I said, if they dropped them in Manhattan, it would have been a challenge,
yeah,
for Atlantic, mm-hmm, City.
Now, there's also some question about whether New Jersey will respond with a casino of its own in North Jersey, maybe two of them at the racetracks up there. How does the commission get involved in something like that?
Well, of course, we would regulate them if that ever,
sure,
came to fruition. You know, that's a policy decision and a piece of legislation that would have to be passed as well as voted,
sure,
on. So I think it's way down the road if, mm-hmm, that's the case. And I think the state is still committed to getting Atlantic City back totally on its feet to be,
right,
totally competitive. So I think that, we still have time to get Atlantic City up and running. And there's no question, the clock is ticking. As you said,
sure,
the,
right,
four-year window, we have to get Atlantic City, clean and safe. And I know you've heard it for the last 40-plus years,
exactly,
as I have.
Right. Yeah.
But I think there has to be a sense of urgency now.
Yeah, yeah. So when Governor Christie came in, I guess it was in 2011, he put together a plan for Atlantic City. He put someone at a commission to do so. And what they said still needs to be done in terms of cleaning up the city, getting the image of the city more positive. And how do we do that?
Well, I've met with the transition team, prior to the Governor Sherrill coming in. And, they said they were focused on urban areas. Atlantic City was on their radar. So I think, they will have more of a activity in here. Governor Murphy was a nice gentleman, but I don't think he spent enough time as we needed in Atlantic City. I think this administration will. And everybody knows the clock is ticking. I think you'll hear it from all the executives. We have a window of opportunity here to turn the city around in regards to clean and safe. And there are some positive things in that direction. You know, the CRDA has stepped up with some summer policing initiatives for literally millions of dollars to put more policemen on the boardwalk and in the tourism district. The boardwalk renovations, the $20 million that the state put into the city for that, that's moving along. So there are some positive steps. But again, I think, you know, we have to be more aggressive on taking down some of the blighted buildings in Atlantic City and just do the some cosmetics on people coming in, that the optics are a little more positive. Mm-hmm. You know, on the White Horse Pike, the Black Horse Pike, the expressway is very nice coming in, but we have to really jazz up all those entrances so you know you're coming into a resort.
Right, okay. So when gambling was first passed back in the 70s in Atlantic City, there was an organization that was put together called the Committee to Rebuild Atlantic City, and it was euphemistically called the Crack Committee. So, but they did a job where everyone got together and they were unified under one purpose and one goal to legalize casinos in Atlantic City. Of course, nobody knew how that would work in those days because there was no other casinos outside of Nevada, but nonetheless, you know, they work fine in terms of getting it done. Do you think we need to have some sort of organization like that here in Atlantic City that unites the city, the casino industry, the state, and the regulatory side?
That's a great concept. It truly is, because I think we need unity of purpose there so there's no duplication of social services or any other duplication, and making sure that there's a synergy with everybody. You know, we all want to help people out there, but, you know, that we got to do that in a unified effort. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, with that being said, we are already gearing up for the 50th anniversary of gaming, which is next year. And the feedback we've gotten has been terrific from the casino industry, from Local 54, from the community in general, from Stockton. So I think that will give us a good opportunity to highlight all the jobs that have been created, mm-hmm. all the homes that were bought, all the cars that were bought, all the children that were sent to colleges because of the casino industry, and also all the money that the Casino Revenue Fund has invested in senior programs and disabled programs and senior transportation, mm-hmm. and in the past, senior prescription plans. There's been a lot of positive that the industry has done that I think people don't realize, and I think the 50th will give us an opportunity as regulators, as well as the industry and the community, to say, look, these are the benefits of what has happened over the last 50 years.
Okay, great. So obviously the threat from New York casinos is the gaming operations up there, the table games, class three slot machines, which are different than what they're offering up there right now. So Atlantic City can already compete with that. We have table games. We have those kind of slot machines. We need more than that, though, don't we? I mean, as you said, it's a resort, so we need that kind of resort feel. What kind of additions do we need to Atlantic City?
Well, you know, I just finished my tours of the nine properties. Mm-hmm. Every spring, I spend a day with each of the casino executives and their senior staff, and they go over what the improvements they're doing, what their capital expenditures are, and in the last 3 years, the industry has spent over $1.3 billion back in their properties. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at Bally's 2 weeks ago. They just doing a new Dunkin' Donuts for $350,000.
Yeah.
I was at Resorts yesterday. They have these pop-up bars that mm-hmm. they're doing very cleverly, and it's driving business there. Tropicana has enhanced the quarter, you know, and every one of the properties in the quarter is filled. So I can go on. You know, Ocean has just opened a number of new restaurants. You know, Borgata just did a new Asian pit there for literally $30 million. So I have to commend the industry. They are pushing back in regards mm-hmm. to, you know, making sure that they are investing in a property that it's new and fresh. So when I talk to yourself and other media, I can honestly say we have nine distinct properties here that when you come here, there's a different experience in each sure. of the properties that you're not going to get anywhere else. And right. we're in close proximity. So if you're losing in one house, you can bounce to another one right. or another one. So that's the true advantage we have. And, you know, I've gotten reports from Resorts World, you know, they've dialed it up a little, but it's still a big box casino.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
you know, that's the advantage we have. But with all that being said, there's no question, you know, we you know, it's great to add other amenities in town, and I think, you know, it has Showboat's been doing a variety of things there, and he's adding more, a dinosaur park this summer. So, and I know Steel Pier's adding new amusements. So, you know, I think there's some synergy all the way around in town that overlap with the casino experience, but also the resort experience as well.
Okay. Do you think that obviously the city can do more? You know, just the repaving of Atlantic Avenue is a disaster still. I've been here, coming back for three years now, and it's still as bad as it ever was. And you know, they announced a year ago now that they were going to repave it, and it still hasn't been done. So, and obviously, you know, there's other streets that are in the same shape. But in terms of people coming to Atlantic City, obviously that you want them to drive on smooth streets, but there's more that can be done on some of the facilities they run, the convention center, the Boardwalk Hall. I mean, I went to a concert at the Boardwalk Hall last summer. It was fantastic. Of course, it was, you know, somebody of my age, you know, the Who. But
I love the Who, yeah.
right. But there's been a bunch of a few concerts there, you know, over the years, but I think there should be something there every weekend, and that would draw people in. Why can't we get that done?
That Gary Music at Visit AC has brought a new energy,
Right.
And he's thinking outside the box. Just to give you an idea, you know, he's come to me and other people saying, "Look, you belong to different organizations. You got to get them here to do their conventions."
Right.
He's called me numerous times to go speak. You know, we're making an effort to get the National American Legion.
Right.
We're making an effort to get the National Guard here. So he'll have me come in, give a little overview of what support we do for veterans. I'm just using that as an example.
Sure.
Gary has brought a new energy, and I think it takes a little while, as you know, to ramp up conventions, but there's no doubt in my mind we're going to be a player in that mid-size convention area. So that's moving in the right direction. Also, I know at the CRDA, I also sit on the board at the CRDA, we are doing all kinds of initiatives and trying. There was just boxing at the
Right. Yep.
Boardwalk Hall last
Yep.
weekend. We are looking at everything we can get in there. And there's no question, I'm with you. You know, it can't be dark. You
Right.
know, we have to have whatever kind of programming we can have in there to bring people in. And they are looking at doing that. And, you know, we're moving in the right direction there. But again, that should have been done years ago, that we are a little late to the game on totally utilizing Boardwalk Hall.
Right.
And it's a beautiful facility.
Sure. Absolutely. Great. Great. So let's talk about the relationship between the DGE and the Casino Control Commission. Again, under Christie's administration, he's switched a lot of responsibilities around. The DGE does most of the investigations now, and you're the licensing bureau, very similar to what happens in Nevada with the Gaming Control Board and the Nevada Gaming Commission. How comfortable are you with the relationship you have with the DGE?
You know, it's our sister agency. You know, we deal with them on a daily basis.
Right.
You know, we have a great working relationship. You know, they have a certain responsibility and we have a certain responsibility. We don't agree all the time, you know, which is good.
Right.
But as I say, it's an excellent working relationship. And as you know, we continue to be the gold standard in regards to regulation. We've had Japan in three different
Really?
times,
Okay.
you know, for briefings with us in the division. And we, as you know, historically, we've helped literally almost
Sure.
every state and every jurisdiction around the
Right.
world on regulatory issues, and we continue to do that. Ironically, the American Virgin Islands just celebrated their 30th
That's right, yeah. And they pretty
anniversary.
much copied directly from
They've
New Jersey
copied
word
directly
for
from
word.
us. We
Yeah.
trained all their staff, and as a matter of fact, we did a proclamation for them
Okay.
recognizing our 30 years and our relationship with them. But again, we have a good, you know, working relationship with the Division of Gaming Enforcement, and you know, I'm happy to report. I think the industry realizes we try to help them. Of course, we, you know, we have to regulate,
Sure.
but we're there to help them succeed.
Okay, great. So let's talk about the issue that is front and center in the industry right now, the predictions market. You know, they're accepting sports bets in all 50 states. Here in New Jersey, they're accepting sports bets and aren't licensed. And so it's illegal here. It's illegal certainly in states where it's not legal, California, Texas, and so on. How can the regulators, you know, help control that? I mean, it really seems to be out of control at this point, even though it's supposedly regulated by a federal agency.
It it's a real problem. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The prediction markets, it's gambling. There's no ifs, right. ands, or buts. You know, I know we have court action pending through the Division of Gaming Enforcement, the Attorney General's office, as other states. There's no doubt in my mind this will end up at the Supreme Court. And mm-hmm. I'm confident down the road at the Supreme Court, they'll rule that it is gambling. But the sooner we get it there, the better. I know the American Gaming Association is focused on it, mm-hmm. As well as all the regulators around right. the country. I mean, we've had discussions with other regulators as well as the division on this. You know, there's not enough safeguards with that federal the federal agency running it. And as you know, the other issue is at 18.
Right.
You sure, can do the prediction right. mark in 18.
Teenagers can bet, yeah.
And I'm a big believer that, you know, 21 is a good age for gambling, mm. you know, in a casino. And I think that, you know, should be across the board. And it is almost across the board in the country. So I think eventually it's going to be resolved sooner, hopefully sooner than later, because it is a real problem, because it does threaten the industry.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So there are several companies that are licensed currently in New Jersey, and I'll say their name is FanDuel and DraftKings and Fanatics. They're licensed in New Jersey, and they're conducting prediction markets, illegal gaming in all 50 states again. Why can't you just pull their licenses and tell them, you know, you're conducting illegal gambling, you're violating your compact with the state?
Again, this is all predicated on that, getting it up to the Supreme Court. You know, the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution gives the federal authority in matter. So until we get it to the Supreme Court to get that ruling, we're handcuffed, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, we see in Nevada just last week, the Nevada Division of Gaming Gaming Control Board has held the as said the Cauchy is in contempt for not agreeing to geofence in Nevada, even though they claim to have a system that's doing so. But I know for a fact they're not, because I've been able to bet there while I was in Nevada, and you know it's a silly system there. I mean, if we put more pressure on them in those kind of ways, you know, I mean, the Arizona Attorney General tried to file criminal charges against them. And, you know, I think if the states were a little more aggressive, I think maybe that would get it to the Supreme Court even quicker.
Yeah. Again, you know, there's a lot of dynamics going on. I know our Attorney General's focus on as well, General Davenport. So it's out there, and, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I know some of them have a different idea than I do. So, again, hopefully it gets to the Supreme Court sooner than later and clears it up for all 50 states. Mm-hmm. That's the sad part here right now. It's a total piecemeal, and it's truly a challenge. I mean, this came out of nowhere, in my opinion,
sure.
and all of a sudden it's out there.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
it's mind-boggling how popular it is.
Yeah.
I hear
mm-hmm.
people talking about it, and my head spins.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Well, you know, we say 18 is the age they accept, but they're even accepting younger than that, because they don't really have know your customer controls there.
Yes,
so,
yes.
you know, it's a scary thing.
Yes. And they don't have all the components of responsible gaming that
right.
the industry does. I mean,
right.
and the industry, as you know, Roger, they have stepped up. I mean,
right.
they, you know, they are really on top of problem gambling.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know,
nothing there. Yeah.
yeah. And there's nothing, no safeguards on that in that area with the prediction markets. And that's a real tragedy.
Right. Right. Okay. So you've been chairman here for 8 years, over
yes.
8 years now,
yes.
And you went through the pandemic, which was one of the
yes.
toughest times for the industry. Obviously, the casinos closed down for months at a time, and you had to figure out how to reopen them. How difficult was that time for regulators to balance your regulatory authority against what needs to be done for the people?
That was truly a challenge. The casinos were closed for 105 days.
Mm-hmm.
I was here every day. I would do at least one conference call with all the executives on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
And giving the casinos credit, they kept a lot of their employees on payroll.
Right.
They did
mm-hmm.
they did food vouchers for them. They really helped the employees during a very rough time.
Yeah.
And you know, as the state mandated them to upgrade their HVAC systems, which they all did, you know, for air exchange to increase the air exchange dramatically, which the industry stepped up and did. They spent a lot of money, and then when we did reopen, as you know, the plexiglass,
right.
holy
yeah,
mackerel,
terrible. Yeah.
it was everywhere, and the cost of that and installing that. So
and they some of them had their had restaurants in their parking garages, so yes. They had the open air restaurants.
Yes, yes, it was an unbelievable challenge. When I go back and think about it, it's hard to believe how much we shut down and restricted activity,
right, sure.
And everything. But they stepped up, they did that, and thank the Lord that we were able to survive.
Right.
Because I know talking to the governor's office saying, look, we got to get back up and running.
Right.
We were saying the industry can only go so long.
Sure.
And we got up for the summer ramp up and it worked out well. And ironically, we bounced back strong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure. Unbelievably strong.
Yeah.
And we've leveled off. There's mm-hmm. no question about it because, there was a lot of pent up energy and a lot of pent up money to spend when we reopened. But, I think we learned from that as an industry, and we're better for it. But I hope we never go through that again, because that it was a miracle that all nine of property survived.
Yeah, no question about that. So your term also predates the approval of sports betting.
Yes,
that was a very exciting time for the industry.
Yes.
New Jersey was the first state after Nevada to legalize full sports betting. You know, Delaware had some silly lottery kind of things, but there's this full online sports betting. How was that period for you to regulate things that were kind of new to you?
It was exciting. It really was. Ironically, as Governor Murphy came down, placed the first bet. On a soccer game mm-hmm. for Germany to win, and they lost, so he lost his money. But the energy that brought,
right.
I mean, there's no question that was a real spark for Atlantic City all the way around, and the properties. Everybody in it did a nice sports bar, and they still have very nice sports bars, all of them. So it's been exciting from that standpoint. And as you know, though, the only misnomer with that is, as you know, the industry is not making a lot of money
right.
on sportsbook.
Yes.
And that's hard to explain mm-hmm. to the public,
yeah.
When they see those numbers
right.
and the margin is so narrow. But I think it's a nice amenity for the properties. And I think it helps Atlantic City, bring in more customers as well. And
right.
add to our diversity of options we offer.
Right. Well, that was added on to online gaming, which was approved in 2013. And that's really been kind of the savior for the industry, because the revenue they get from online gaming continues to increase every month. They set new records every month. Does it surprise you how popular that has been and continues to be?
Yes, yes. This year, it will go up another 15%,
yeah.
the way it's trending. We When internet gaming was approved, we thought that it would take another 3 years mm-hmm. before it surpassed brick and mortar. So it was 3 years ahead of our projection.
Sure.
So I'm shocked. I'm always amazed every month when I read the numbers coming in, and we're still growing.
Yeah.
Because I always thought there was a finite amount of gaming money out there, but that number keeps increasing. Now, the downside is we always thought there would be more cross-pollination. We thought more people would come
mm-hmm.
to visit after they game on the internet, but that hasn't come to fruition.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a small percentage that have come. No matter how the industry markets it, people like playing on a device. They don't even want to go to the floor when they're here. Some
sure.
stay in the room.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take advantage of the room at a free meal,
right.
but they're not even going on the floor.
Yeah. But that's really benefited the industry that they can offer that kind of thing.
There's no doubt about it. That has been a savior all the way around. That there's no question that kept us going during
yeah.
COVID, and it is helping the industry as well now.
Great, great. So, when I first started in this business as a journalist, I couldn't talk to the Casino Control Commission because they didn't like us. At that point, the Casino Control Commission was very adversarial toward the industry. I mean, there's, talks about how they regulated the color of the tiles and the rug pattern and things of that nature, which, of course, wasn't really true, but that was what people said. But, the response I always got from the commission was, we're not talking to you, but that has changed, obviously. And so I thank you for taking the time.
It's been my honor, Roger, and, we appreciate all the good work you do for the industry. I love reading your magazine on a monthly basis, so continued success.
Well, you've done a great job. I hope you can survive another governor.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.